Hello, and welcome to Off the Cuff. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and on this program, every week, we are going to bring you a fascinating guest, where we are going to discuss the economy, energy, or the environment, informally and without a script. Welcome to this Off the Cuff. Hey, I'm real pleased to have Mish back with me today. Mish, how are you?
Hey, a pleasure to be back on, Chris. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold here.
I can hear that.
Otherwise, I hope I sound okay.
Well, there's so much to talk about in the economic news. Lots going on. Where should we start? You were talking earlier about noticing that gold kind of put in a new low here today. So we're recording this on Wednesday. I'm going to pull up my gold chart here, and I'm going to take a look at this and see that I see a number of 1171. So is gold put in a kind of a new low for this move, down from a high of over 1,330 in the minutes after Trump's election? Here we are, $80 down from that, $60 down from that, I guess. No, sorry, way more than that, $160 down from that.
Yeah.
Let me get my math right. 160 down from there. What are you noticing?
Well, the one thing I'm noticing, and I'm very encouraged by it, and in fact, I'm adding to my minor position now. I did take some off near that peak. Unfortunately, I wish I would have sold it all, but I had some really big winners that I bought earlier in the year, and I said, you know what, being up 400 or 500% on some of these things is not bad. So I took some things off the table. I'm glad I did. Some of those got clobbered. As I said, I'm not totally brilliant here because I could have sold it all and didn't. But I'm adding some miners back here because one thing I've noticed here, Chris, is that gold's making these new lows, the miners just don't seem to want to fall much. I've got a couple of miners that I'm in that have actually barely budged at all. You can find some really strong junior miners in both silver and gold that just like refuse to go down. Something's going on, and just in general, on the XAU and the gold mining and the Huey, a lot of times the first major low is the big one, and even though we have these corrections, they never take out those lows. I mean, if we go back to about a year ago, actually, the Huey put in a monstrous big rally. It's still up, what, close to 100% or something since that low from a year ago. We've had a correction in gold that's taken a lot of that rally back. The miners are still holding on a relative basis, much strong. I like the action here I'm adding to my miner position.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that. And I'm noticing that kind of the other big news this year is the rise in interest rates, which I'm still a little confused by, to be completely honest. Mostly because it still bothers me a bit that we still see the United States 10-year bond powering up in yield compared to what I consider to be much weaker brethren elsewhere in the European space. But there it is. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I want to talk about, though, is a lot of housing data has come out. I know you had something on your site about pending home sales. So that's for the National Association of Realtors. For those listening, when somebody signs a contract, the NAR will go out and gather that data. And I'm not going to suggest that they've got a great system. I think they sample. They're sampling a group of realtors who are known to be fairly bullish. I've been a little suspect about that data. I mean, the NAR, when I see that data, Mish, I squint one eye hard and I close the other one. It's kind of feely, it's interesting data, but it's not super solid. But at any rate, I've been expecting, and I'm sure you have as well, that the rise in interest rates is going to be pinching housing activity and refinancing activity. And here's the data. Let's imagine an average house is $250,000. And at the low of the 30-year mortgage, just a few months back, I think it was July, which came in at 3.3%, your monthly mortgage would have been $1,100. So here's the question. That's just the mortgage, none of the other stuff, the insurance and stuff like that. But what I wanted to ask was, let's imagine now that interest rates are at 4.2%, which they are, and you still could only afford that same $1,100. could you still afford that same $250,000 house? And the answer is no. The amount of house you can afford, keeping your monthly payment the same, is $225,000. So at 4.2%, $225,000 house cuts you an $1,100 a monthly mortgage payment, right? So keeping all other things equal, you know, I'm not trying to factor in down payments and all that stuff. This is just saying, Mish, that an 80 basis point rise, which we've seen, means that people can afford to pay 10% less for a house. For people who are looking to sell their house, who are looking to flip houses, who are in this market, you've got to be aware of this data. People are usually stretching in their home purchases, and this is telling you they've got a lot less stretch, at least in the middle of the market, or certainly in you know, the place where the vast bulk of the homes are sold. Hey, these are the people who've been feeling the pinch for 30 years who just gave us, I think, at least in part, a political upheaval in the United States. But yeah, worth tracking this. What are you seeing here?
To listen to this podcast in full, as well as all our other premium podcasts and articles, please enroll at peakprosperity.com. Simply go to peakprosperity.com/enroll.